Radio Daily for Finally Frackin' Friday. But oh no! Friday the 13th. Dun dun dun. I mean, what are we going to do? That's just, how do you handle things like this? We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might have put together that it is the 13th of April because it's Friday the 13th. Oh my God. And how do people deal with it? Well, we'll just figure it out the best we can. The folks that are going to solve these problems, my fantastic esteemed co-host right there, the podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Oh, all right. Sure. We can do that.
Start.
Meanwhile, I'll just go to all the parties. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You hate people, but I love gatherings. Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think? What happened on this fine day, sir?
It's a little too ironic. 1625, Johannes Faber of Bamberg, Germany, coins the word microscope in a letter written to Federigo Sisi, Duke of Aquisperata, and founder of Italy's Lincian Academy.
Oh, dude, I do love their version of cartoon heroes. 1860, the first Pony Express rider arrives in Sacramento, California, ceremonially completing the service's inaugural delivery. The next day, the mail will be delivered to San Francisco, where the subsequent runs will end.
1941, FM station WS1NY in New York becomes the first commercial broadcaster to sign an advertiser to a contract.
1953, CIA director Alan Dulles launches the mind control program Project MKUltra.
1959, the United States Air Force launches the Discoverer 2 surveillance satellite from Vandenberg Air Force Base into a polar orbit around a Thor Agena A.
I don't know what that is, but the women love it. 1960, Transit 1B, the first navigational satellites launched into Earth orbit for DARPA, the first satellite to use a magnetic torque device to maintain altitude control. It'll remain operable for 89 days. Money well spent.
1970, at 2:08 UTC, an oxygen tank aboard the service module of Apollo 13 explodes mid-mission. Moments later, astronaut John Leonard Jack Swigert Jr. announces, "Houston, we've had a problem here."
See, Apollo the 13th. 1974, in cooperation with Hughes Aircraft and NASA, Western Union launches the United States' first commercial communication satellite, Westar 1.
No relation to Lone Star 1. 1983, Atari signs a long-term agreement with Williams Electronics, giving Atari first refusal rights to Williams' coin-operated arcade games for home platforms.
1999, Metallica sues Napster, alleging copyright infringement and racketeering, after several radio stations played an unfinished demo of their song I Disappear that was downloaded from Napster in advance of its official release. Don't get me started. They're hypocrites.
Yeah, don't get mad at whoever released it first or made it available on Napster.
Yeah.
2001, Yahoo announces that it will begin removing all adult-related merchandise, including pornography, from its auctions, classifieds, and shopping services. The announcement precipitates a barrage of complaints from users.
Oddly enough, the very next day, all of that went out of business. 2005, Paramount Studios and the United Paramount Network reconfirms the cancellation of the Star Trek series Enterprise is final. Sorry, the last season being what they promised us all along was too late.
You know that show that we canceled? Yep, nope, staying canceled.
Right? I mean, what the hell is that?
2007, Revolution Studios releases the thriller Perfect Stranger, directed by James Foley and starring Bronson Pinchot and Mark Lynn Baker. No, it's starring Halle Berry, Bruce Willis, and Giovanni Ribisi. The film follows a newspaper reporter who chases her friend's killer through the darkest corners of the internet as he comes from a small island nation to live with his cousin.
Was it any good?
Don't be ridiculous, Cousin Larry.
2010, Twitter announces on its blog it will begin to sell advertising in the form of promoted tweets that will appear in the site's search results, because those work out so well for all of us. Birthdays?
Allison Williams, 30, from Girls, Get Out. Oh, sorry, those are two different movies, Girls and Get Out.
Glenn Howerton is 42, that's Dennis and Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and in the new AP bio.
Ricky Schroeder, or I believe he's known as Rick Schroeder now. He is 48 years old, from Silver Spoons and NYPD Blue.
Gary Kroger is 61, a very underappreciated Saturday Night Live alumnus.
Peter Davison, 67, Fifth Doctor, Tristan, All Creatures Great and Small, Law & Order UK, and a very special interview available on youtube.com/geekradiodaily.
Aw, William Sadler is 68, from Demon Knight, Ellis in Iron Man 3. He's also been in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Love William Sadler. Ron Perlman, a man, an actor I love. He's 68 years old. Beauty and the Beast, Hellboy, Slade on Teen Titans, Pacific Rim, Hellboy. We mentioned Hellboy, both the voice actor in the cartoons and the face actor in the movies. The list goes on and on, but I first saw him in The Name of the Rose.
Oh, wow. Wow. Good call there. Paul Sorvino was 79 from Goodfellas, Law and Order, and pretty much any mafia-related thing ever.
True. And also Repo, the genetic opera.
Well, technically, that was still mafia.
Very true. Also, father to Mira Sorvino, who is not in the mafia, thankfully.
You know, she could make me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Born this day, no longer with us. In 1570, Guy Fawkes, the English soldier, and planned the gunpowder plot, as well as served as the model for the Burger King mask.
1892, Robert Watson Watt, a Scottish engineer, invented the radar.
1916, Phyllis Fraser co-founded Beginner Books.
1919, Howard Keel from Day of the Triffids and Clayton on Dallas.
1919, Phil Tonkin, American voice actor, worked the radio shows for Buck Rogers, Flash... Gordon and Tom Corbett, Space Cadet.
1923. Would you believe Don Adams? Maxwell Smart on Get Smart, the voice of Tennessee Tuxedo, and of course, Inspector Gadget.
I was hoping that would be mine, but I missed it by that much. But we do have 1876. Nope. 1976. Jonathan Brandis from It and Sequest.
Ah, there's a guy. Miss you, dude.
Yeah, and he's probably in something that's on TV on CBS. We've got a new MacGyver, Hawaii 50, and Blue Bloods.
ABC, it's a new Once Upon a Time. Then Fitz, Yo-Yo, and Simmons try to neutralize a weapon, which may be a factor in Earth's destruction, on a new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
NBC has Taken and A Farewell to Michael Jackson on a two-hour Dateline. Wait, what, did he die again?
What? No, Fox, it's a new MasterChef Junior.
CW has a new Jane the Virgin.
Freeform is showing Hocus Pocus. Why not?
AMC has Blazing Saddles, most likely edited for TV, so, you know, it's 15 minutes long. Just watch it on DVD.
A&E has a new live PID.
FX has Fast and the Furious 6.
FXX Simpsons Homer the Vigilante, Bart Gets Famous, and Deep Space Homer.
FXM has The Purge, Sons of Anarchy, Anarchy.
History Channel, ancient astronaut theorists wonder if ancient rulers had some connection with extraterrestrial forces on a new Ancient Aliens on the History Channel.
We can save you time. Nope. IFC has Chronicles of Riddick, which is probably going to have our favorite scene cut out.
I thought that one was just called Riddick. I don't know anymore. Paramount has The Rundown.
Oh, you're right. That was the second one. I love the series, and it gets confusing, but The Rundown's good. Sci-Fi has Leprechaun 2, followed by Leprechaun. So you answer all the questions, and then you ask them afterward? I don't know.
Sure, it's a Jeopardy night. Turner Classic Movies will be showing Todd Browning's Freaks, which is still one of the most fantastic, wonderful, creepy moments ever. If you saw American Horror Story, Freak Show, watch this. That's where they stole it from.
TBS has Hangover 2, and due to a spelling error, Hamgover 3.
Oh, weird. TNT has Get Hard.
I want to watch Hamgover. VH1 had the Waterboy.
But we're watching the Hallmark Channel, because when a woman learns her childhood love is planned to destroy a historic estate and replace it with a new golf course, she decides to urge her former beau to embrace the past and save the beloved mansion from destruction. Amanda Schull, Peter Port, and Vanessa Bell Calloway star in Love, Once, and Always.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. John searches for Marlena as she tries to convince Stefan to let her go. She sings him the cake song and everything. G. Abby fends off Chad's questions by repeating, "There is no Abby here, only Zool." Sierra is hurt by Tripp's decision. Ha! Told you it was Claire. Now pay up! Seriously, man, I hope you at least tried both. Claire conspires to win the new Face of Bella contest. If not, she's got a carry plan all ready to go. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
Hi, wonderful and podcastings. Just wanted to drop a note and give Billy something to read. See you at RavenCon, Carol. Well, hey, Carol, I guess I should have read your email before assuming that the title of your email had something to do with your email. Yes, we will be. Now you know, and no one else does, because you didn't put it in your email. I think an email stage whisper would go something like this. I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. Though it's easy to pretend, I know you're not a fool. Ooh. I should have known better than to cheat a friend and waste the chance that I've been given. So I'm never gonna dance again the way I dance with you. And that's from Anna. So thank you, Anna, for clarifying that for all of us. If you'd like to clear some things up.
Wait, hold on a second. Did she at least warn us that she was going to be sending that email?
No, she did not.
That was careless.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. If you can outpun that one, I dare you. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. The glove is down. See if you can slap somebody with it.
Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This is Carol the Cat with the Guardians of the Geekery podcast. Join me, Starnes Lord, the Giddy Geeker, and whatever the hell we decide to call Tiffany this week as we interview local interesting people and talk about geek stuff. That's the Guardians of the Geekery podcast. Find us at guardiansofthegeekery.com or wherever fine podcasts are streamed. And remember, we're not the geekiest people on Earth. We're just here to guard your right to get your geek on.
Hello, this is Peter Davison, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Gosh, that man's voice is just musical.
Yeah.
Kind of like things you do at 1 o'clock in the morning when you don't think anybody's watching. Hey, welcome back to it. It's time to push this button.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
They certainly do, and sometimes those movies get made. What can we go and put our butts in the seats for, sir?
Well, in limited release, infamous war criminal and former general, played by Ben Kingsley, spends his life on the run from international authorities and is suddenly moved to a new hideout where he develops a relationship with the maid that looks after him. But when he discovers that she is actually an agent hired to protect him, he makes a decision that will drastically change both of their lives. Ben Kingsley, Hera Hilmer, and I can only assume Peter Serafinowicz as the maid, probably not Hera, an ordinary man.
A mentally ill man who, after suffering hallucinations, begins to see a therapist, believes he's fallen in love, but isn't sure if his new soulmate is real or a hallucination. While at the same time, his new therapist also finds love with our new patient's famous brother. Zachary Quinto, John Hamm, and Jenny Slate star in a movie, if I don't know, is serious or comedic, Aardvark.
No kidding, jeepers. When a party bus on its way to Burning Man filled with a bunch of sexy young adults breaks down in the desert in the middle of a group of satanic worshippers, all hell breaks loose. A massacre leaves 7 survivors trapped on the bus, fighting for their lives while wondering if someone or someones are not what they seem. Tara Reid, Sadie Katz, Devani Pin in a movie that I'm not sure if it's a romantic comedy or a horror movie. Bus Party to Hell.
In nationwide release, a harmless game of truth or dare among friends turns deadly when someone or something begins to punish those who tell a lie or refuse a dare. Lucy Hale, Tyler Posey, and Violet Bean star in Blumhouse's Truth or Dare.
The true story of a stray bull terrier mutt and the lasting bond he forged with the doughboys of the 26th Yankee Division at the onset of America's entry into World War I. For his valorous actions, Stubby was the first dog promoted to the rank of sergeant in U.S. Army history. Gerard Depardieu and Helena Bonham Carter star in Sergeant Stubby, an American hero.
Primatologist Davis Okoye shares an unshakable bond with George, an extraordinarily intelligent silverback gorilla who has been in his care since birth. But a rogue genetic experiment gone awry transforms the gentle ape into a raging monster. To make matters worse, it soon discovered there were other altered alpha predators. All these newly created monsters tear across North America, destroying everything in their path. Davis teams up with a discredited genetic engineer to secure an antidote, fighting his way through an ever-changing battlefield, not only to halt a global catastrophe, but to save the fearsome creature that was once his friend. Dwayne Johnson, Naomi Harris, and Jake Lacy star in a movie that should have the trailer for Meg in it, a video game adaptation I never thought I'd see, Rampage.
And if those aren't enough alpha predators hosing everything down with testosterone for you, Svengoolie is featuring the story of 2 men forced by bank robbers to adjust the course of a rocket's flight from Mars to Venus, where they find a civilization made up entirely of women, men having been banished. Check out the 1953 seminal classic and let's just call it a woke film. Abbott and Costello Go to Mars.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, celebrate today in style by going to Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, which has Jason Voorhees at the bottom of one of them. Jason, of course, is one of modern horror's most enduring icons, following his debut in Friday the 13th, because he was real. He was. And since then, the serial killer from Camp Crystal Lake has slashed his way through 8 subsequent Friday the 13th chapters, 9 if you include Jason X, which of course we do. Then that attempted reboot of the series, which was actually a sequel. Who knows? But Curtis Lair built a statue of Jason and tethered it 120 feet deep at the bottom of a lake and a popular dive site in Crosby, Minnesota. And when he dropped the anchor back in 2013, the video was uploaded. It took over a year for people to find it. Now, folks should be kind of aware that it's happening. It looks a little rough, it looks a little tough, but it's been down there being nibbled by fish. So if you're diving, try not to be nervous. Don't freak out if you see him. Remember, water is his weakness. Jason wasn't a good swimmer. He should have been watched! Kill them, Mommy! Kill them all!
John Krasinski, the guy you best know as the dude who looked at the camera in the American version of The Office. So you didn't see Leatherheads or the new Jack Ryan show. That's fine, because now you know him as the guy from A Quiet Place, which he directed, co-wrote, and also stars in. Since he is a hit, he, of course, gets another movie. Krasinski and his Quiet Place producers, who include Michael Bay, will reteam for a sci-fi thriller titled Life on Mars. Not to be confused with the UK TV series or the David Bowie song, no. This is an adaptation of a short story by author, musician, and Cecil lover, Cecil Castellucci. The original title of the work is We Have Always Lived on Mars, which centers on a woman who is among a handful of descendants of a Martian colony long abandoned by Earth following a cataclysm. The woman one day finds she can breathe the air on Mars, upending her world and that of her fellow colonists. So far, there's no writer or actors attached, but if we may be so bold, just keep A Quiet Place's Emily Blunt and maybe
Matt Damon.
And then get your ass to Mars.
Universal Cable Productions, who helped bring us Mr. Robot in the Center, has optioned Warren Ellis' latest comic series, Injection, with plans to adapt it as a TV series. Declan Shavely and Jordi Belair illustrated the Image comic title first published in 2015, revolves around a group of 5 highly specialized individuals brought together by the British government to hypothesize about the future of human culture, a slightly more interesting version of Marvel's Illuminati. After discovering the results, the group decides to act on it by creating an unusual AI, using a combination of technology and shamanistic magic, which makes its way into our world, which makes it the Apache Chief Ultron, I guess. You wanted a more interesting world! Maybe I'm growing up quickly. Maybe I'm better than you planned. Maybe I'm just showing you that your world was interesting enough all the time, all on its own. And now I'm punishing you.
Self-driving cars. They are the future and possibly the end of humanity. A video was uploaded by YouTube user Shantao Joshi showing him driving his Model S on Highway 101 up until part of it divides off into Highway 85. The car can be seen veering left, heading straight for a divider, apparently following a white line. Joshi then takes control of the steering wheel. It does not appear as if autopilot warned Joshi to take control at any point in the video, though the system does tell drivers to pay attention and keep your hands on the wheel when it is activated. Read the terms of service before you sign off, of course. Don't be a centipede. The odd thing about this is the divider that Model X was heading towards is the same one that a different Tesla Model X crashed on March 23rd. The driver in the deadly crash was also using autopilot at the time of the crash, Tesla later discovered. The new video, filmed by a Tesla owner, suggests that autopilot might have a vulnerability in similar situations. A Tesla spokesperson gave a statement when asked for a comment. Autopilot does not, as ABC7 reports, make a Tesla an autonomous car or allow a driver to abdicate responsibility. Look, we know this, but if they keep heading for that same spot, maybe, just maybe, they used old parts from a car that wrecked there. And now every Tesla that has any part from that has haunted. And it's like Tesla, it's out for revenge or something like that. I don't know. Maybe they should not name it Edison's Corner. But oddly enough, both of those cars were playing AC/DC. Emilio Estevez swears he is never getting in a car again.
And now if you will indulge me in just a moment of
Schadenfreude.
Famed high score gamer Billy Mitchell, best known for his leading role in the King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters documentary, was officially stripped of his Donkey Kong and other video game high scores and banned from submitting scores to the world's largest tracker of video game world records following a decision that he cheated Twin Galaxies has announced. With this ruling, Twin Galaxies can no longer recognize Billy Mitchell as the first million-point Donkey Kong record holder, the group wrote in its announcement. According to our findings, Steve Wiebe will be the official first million-point record holder. The decision comes after months of research by the administrators of Twin Galaxies. According to a statement released by the group, Mitchell's famous Donkey Kong score of 1,047,200 was not achieved on an arcade machine, a requirement for Twin Galaxies and Guinness, but rather through the use of emulation software. The allegations against Mitchell first brought up when Jeremy Young filed a dispute in February, and we told you, the group meticulously tested and investigated the dispute cases, assertions, as well as a number of relevant contingent factors. They also say that at least two different third parties conducted their own explorations and came to identical conclusions. Additionally, according to the statement, during the evidence-gathering period of the dispute, numerous experts, hobbyists, and casual observers participated and contributed to this investigation. Based on the complete body of evidence presented in this official dispute thread, Twin Galaxies administrative staff has unanimously decided to remove all of Billy Mitchell's scores as well as ban him from participating in our competitive leaderboards. We have notified Guinness World Records of our decision. He's also been banned from participating in our competitive leaderboards. Congratulations to Steve Wiebe, the actual honest-to-God, one true King of Kong. But what will Billy Mitchell do? Will he hide in shame? Will he be able to redeem himself in the eyes of all of his fans?
Well, Billy Mitchell always has a plan.
You damn right he does.
Shame.
Shame. Please, follow this man. Oh, my God. When you see the documentary, you can tell he's cheating then. And he's been a dude. I have not liked this man since the 1980s. So maybe I'm a little biased. Maybe so.
He's always had a plan.
Always.
He's not been a good one, but he always had a plan.
GRT is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, not a rebook, section of the book, licensed. Check us on Facebook and Twitter, some of the website at geekradiodaily.com. I mostly said all those words. I mean, not every single syllable. What are you going to do? Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. And hey, do you normally skip the question of the week when you listen, or do you just not care? Let us know. You know, it's one of those things. Sure.
What do you think?
It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
That's the end. You're not a winner because you used to be popular in high school, but I think you peaked.
Peaked? Peaked, Dee? Let me tell you something. I haven't even begun to peak. And when I do peak, you'll know. Because I'm going to peak so hard that everybody in Philadelphia is going to feel it. I'm in my prime. And I bet you that I could sell these dresses to Fatty Magoo just based on these sketches alone. And your loser friend is going to buy them because she's a fatty. And that's just the way of the world. All I have to do is turn on my winning charm. Fatty Magoo will be putty in my hands. You can do it, Dennis, because you're a winner. You haven't peaked. You haven't even begun to peak, but you're going to peak today. Oh, you're going to peak all over everybody. Make it work, Dennis.